Today's episode is for all the operators out there. So maybe you're listening and you are an owner and an operator, but I know there are also a whole bunch of restaurant managers who tune into this show. This one is for you. Tricks to being a more effective manager, going to help you be better at your job, be more efficient at your job. All of that on today's episode of Restaurant Strategy. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close. You are listening to Restaurant Strategy. We do two new episodes every single week. Operations on Monday, marketing on Thursday. This is an operations episode, must be Monday. Just so you know, I wrote a book. It's called The Restaurant Marketing Mindset. I travel all around the world giving talks, keynotes at different conferences, conventions, trade shows. I do these podcast episodes every week. You find me on Instagram. You find me on Facebook. You find me on TikTok. I also run something called the P3 Mastermind. It's a group coaching program geared towards independent restaurant owners and operators who struggle with profitability. So they got a busy place doing a lot of revenue, just not seeing all of that revenue or enough of that revenue drop all the way to the bottom line. If that sounds like you, if you're ready for consistent, predictable 20% profits, then come join the program with over 150 independent operators from all over the country in that group. We have a bunch of different groups, everybody spread between them. But if that sounds like you, we should have a conversation. You start that conversation by setting up time on our calendar, restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. You'll grab time to chat with either me or someone from my team. We'll get to learn more about you and your restaurant. We'll get to hear what's going on. You'll get to ask questions so you better understand what we do and how we help restaurant owners, and let's see if you're a good fit. That call's absolutely free. There's no pressure, but it's a great way to get to know each other. Again, restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. As always, that link is in the show notes. Now, Torque understands that expectations for food service, sustainability, and guest experience are higher than ever. That's why Torque provides products and services that help restaurants meet those demands. With more than 50 years of global food service expertise, Torque can help you keep up with hygiene standards and food safety guidelines all over your best ones in every single department, FOH, BOH, restrooms, drive-through, on and on. From ExpressNap, the world's favorite napkin dispenser. I love it, you love it, I'm sure you see it, I'm sure you use it. To the multi-purpose cleaning towels that clean smarter and high-capacity restroom dispensers that reduce runouts, Torque offers better hygiene for better guest and staff experiences. You can check them out and get more tips at torqueusa.com/restaurant. That's torqueusa.com/restaurant. Restaurant. As always, you'll find that link in the show notes. Now, today we are talking about management. We are talking about how we be better, more effective managers, right? Here's the thing. This is where this comes from. And I've talked about this a lot. I will continue doing episodes about this because I think we have to refresh our memories on this. And I think we have to continually think about this in new ways. Here's the bottom line. Most of us didn't go to school for this. I certainly didn't until much later in my career when I went back to business school. But I didn't go to school to be a restaurant manager. I was just thrust into that. And the people who taught me were doing the best they knew. And they were taught by people who knew, who did things the best way they know. But when you go to business school, as I did, we have classes in leadership. We have separate classes in management. We talk about principles, how to be more effective, meaning how to connect with our people, how to get higher productivity, how to measure things, how to think about productivity in ways that matter for the business. Bottom line is, I think this is an area where we can all get better. So there's six different areas that I want to share with you today. Six things that I think if you focus on will help you be a better, more effective, more beloved manager, beloved by your owners, beloved by your staff, because you'll be somebody who gets things done. You'll be somebody who's fair to work for. I think you'll be better at your job. And ultimately, I think you're going to enjoy your job more. It's so much of what my journey has been about is learning how to do my job better and learning how to then teach others how to do their job better. That's really what this episode is all about. Again, so tricks to being a more effective manager. There's six in particular I want to share with you. Man, I could probably fill a 3-hour episode all about this, but I'm going to narrow it down to the biggest six. Here we are in no particular order, except this is the way that they came to mind, right? Number one is clarity. You have to get really good, right? Danny Meyer said this in his book, Setting the Table. He says this on and on. Really smart people say this, right? Words matter. What you say and how you say what you say matters quite a bit. Clarity is a really crucial skill for a great manager to have. You have to be really clear on what you need someone to do, how it needs to be done, and then you have to explain to them why it matters that they do it and that they do it in the way that you've explained, right? This is about making your expectations known, making sure there are no assumptions, right, that everything is clearly articulated. This is everything from when you interview and when you start training, right? Expectations on what this job is about, what's going to be expected of someone, right? The way you train them and the things you teach them and the order you teach them and how you show them how to do it and the ways that you explain as to why it matters that they do it that way, right? All of that matters, right? So that there's no fuzziness. There's nothing vague about what you need them to do. So they can't say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that, or I didn't know you wanted it done that way. If you can get really good at that, and that doesn't happen overnight, right? But if you can look at all of the things that you do and all the things that you ask of your team and the way that you explain things to your team, if you can just bring clarity to the table, it will make a profound difference in the way that you manage and the way and sort of the output you get from the people who work for you, I promise. The next thing is sort of counterintuitive, but it's curiosity. Right, the hard part about being a restaurant manager is everyone comes to you for answers. And for sure, you have to be an expert or more of an expert on the restaurant than, let's say, the server or the busser or the barista or the bartender. You need to have more of the answers. Hopefully, you've been around longer, you've got more experience to draw from, and you are better at this job than they are. But nobody expects you to have all the answers. Nobody expects you to be able to read the minds of the people who work for you. So curiosity is a really important skill to bring into the table. My mentor, I've talked about him quite a bit on this show. He did two things really well every single day, right? He was keen on saying every single day, I don't know, right? So somebody would say, hey, what should I do here and there? He'd say, oh, I don't know. What do you think we should do, right? I don't know. What are some of our options? That becomes really crucial. The other thing is he would ask questions of people, and he was really keen in saying, my bad. I screwed that up. What do you think we should do to fix this? Right? Curiosity. When you do that, right? When you do that, it takes all the pressure. Number one, takes the pressure off yourself. When you ask questions, other people give answers, and then you can react. You can respond to the answer that's given. Right? When you ask three people a question and you get a bunch of responses, you then get to determine which of those three answers sound the smartest, or maybe none of them. Maybe you still have a better idea, but now you're at least armed. Now you know more about how your people think about certain problems, right? Whether that's the other managers who work for you or the line level employees, the cooks, the servers, the bussers, et cetera, below you, right? You don't have to have all the answers. And sometimes just polling the crowd, sometimes being curious will help you, right? Also, being curious keeps you from jumping to conclusions, right? So somebody comes in late and you want to jump down their throat for being late again. Curiosity injected into that moment will help you be a more effective manager, because maybe their babysitter was late. Maybe the kid was sick. Maybe they were, you know, whatever. Maybe the bus was late and had nothing to do with that. Maybe they can't afford their car and they have to take the bus now. Maybe their car broke down. Just by saying, hey, what happened? I think you'll get an answer, right? By bringing empathy to the table, right? And that's sort of folded up into that curiosity word. So clarity and curiosity are the first two things that I think help you be a better manager, right? And every time you think that you're supposed to give an answer, instead inject curiosity. And when it does come then time for you to give an answer or to tell someone what to do, being able to be articulate becomes really crucial. So those two, strangely enough, go hand in hand. The third thing I want to talk about is the importance of measuring everything, right? What gets measured gets managed. And as a manager, your job is to manage, specifically managing the profitability of the restaurant. I talk about this a lot, right? The only thing that matters in a business is profit. And if that sounds cold and callous, I promise you it's not. But great food, great service, warm hospitality, beautiful decor, all of that is in service of the bottom line. And if we can generate a greater bottom line, then we can reinvest those profits into a second location, into a better location, into growing this business in some way, which means we get to feed more people, we get to employ more people. All of that ends up being good. I see profit as a ratchet for good, because that's exactly what it is. Great food for great food's sake, who cares? You're going to cook great food for 3 months, you're going to go out of business because you can't do it sustainably. So, you know, whatever, a couple hundred people had your great food. It doesn't matter if you can't do it sustainably. So make no mistake, profit is always the goal. And a restaurant manager's job is to manage the profitability of the restaurant. Now, the good part is that being warm and gracious and providing great service and having, you know, intelligent, articulate staff and cooking great food and having beautiful lighting and well-designed menus, all of that goes into that. It goes into creating a great guest experience. When people have a great experience, they are more apt to come back, obviously, or at least it's obvious to me, right? But the point, right, it's a means to an end. Great food is not just about great food. Great food is about creating a business that is profitable, that can sustain itself for many, many years to feed more people and employ more people, serve the community in which it's a part, right? You have to measure everything. You have to understand the metrics that matter for your business. So for me, that's revenue, COGS, and labor. Those are the things that those are our controllables. In business, we control the controllables. As a restaurant manager, you want to know what you have control over. Those are your controllables. You can influence the amount of revenue that's generated in the restaurant tonight, right? There are things you can do. You can manage the amount that we spend on food, our food cost percentage, our beverage cost percentage, right? Our cost of goods. That ultimately has a great deal to do with the profitability. And same thing with labor. We get to pick who we hire, how much we pay them, and how much we schedule them. We are in control of our labor percentage, right? To a degree. I know there are other forces at play here. But for the most part, revenue, COGS, and labor are our controllables. So as a restaurant manager, I want to measure those areas in particular so that I can better manage them, right? And I want to work with an owner and a management team who understands that we have agency when it comes to those things. If that is not immediately obvious, then I am the one, hopefully, that is pointing it out to you. If that you didn't know that before, you now know that. You know that now. A restaurant manager's job is to manage the profitability. It's not your job to unlock the doors, turn on the lights, check in the staff, do the bank drop, deal with customer complaints, handle all the voids and comps and, you know, check everybody out, you know, do the cash out, close the doors, you know, lock it on your way out. All that is stuff that needs to be done while you're there. But what you're there to do is to manage the profitability of the restaurant. And while you're there, we'll have you do all this other stuff as well. So I know it becomes a laundry list of all that other crap you got to do, but you need to make sure to be efficient with that stuff, because what you really need to measure, what you really need to focus on is how do we drive more revenue? Meaning, how do I get more butts in seats? How do I maximize each butt that's in my seat, right? How do I increase check average for every single guest to make sure they're having the best possible time? Because P.S., the more they order, the more good stuff they have, right? The more they get to experience about our restaurant. That is good. It's good from a customer's perspective, and we drive more revenue. It's good from a business perspective, right? So you can affect revenue. How do you get more people in? How do you make sure that those people are enjoying the very best that we have to offer, maximizing the spend of each guest in there, right? We can manage our COGS, meaning the products we order, the way we portion them, the way we price them, the amount of waste we have, the systems that are in there to safeguard that. And then our labor. Those are the things that you really need to focus on. All the other stuff has to be 20% of your job. 80% is the most important stuff. 80% of your focus should be on the profitability. And if that wasn't clear before, I hope it's clear now. Clarity, curiosity, and measurement. Those are the first three things that will make you a beloved manager, both to your owners and for the staff that you're in charge of below you. Those are the first three. Second three in just a second. Thousands of restaurants across the country use Kickfin to send instant cashless tip payouts directly to their employees' bank accounts the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to what has become a really big problem. Because let's face it, paying out cash tips to your workers day after day, shift after shift, it can be kind of a nightmare. Tedious tip distribution takes managers away from work that actually matters. It's hard to track those payments, which leads to accounting and compliance headaches. Plus, cash tip outs create the perfect opportunity for theft. And there's never enough cash on hand to actually pay out those tips, so we know your managers are constantly having to make bank runs. Bottom line, there's never been a secure, efficient way to tip out until now. Meet Kickfin. Kickfin is an easy-to-use software that sends real-time, cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts 24/7, 365. Tipping out with Kickfin gives managers and operators hours back in their day. It makes reporting a breeze and protects your business from mistakes and theft. And guess what? Employees love it, so it becomes a really powerful recruiting tool. Best of all, restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds, and there is no hardware, no contracts, and no setup fees. Get in touch today for a personalized demo and see how restaurants and bars all over the country are tipping out with Kickfin. Visit kickfin.com/demo, and yes, that link is also in the show notes. Okay, so we're talking about tricks to being a more effective manager. These are things, honestly, that I wish I knew when I was started. The first couple of management jobs I had, I don't think I really knew what I was doing, but I don't think I had people leading me who did a very good job in teaching me what I needed to do. It really wasn't until my third management job where I worked with somebody who really showed me everything that I now know and I believe, everything that I used then brought on with me through the rest of my career, and the things that I now teach to all of you, to the people in my mastermind, to the people who tune in and listen to this podcast. Six tricks that will help you be a more effective manager. First three were clarity, curiosity, and the need for measurement, right? Understanding what actually moves the needle in the business, what actually helps you target profitability. Now I'm going to do the last three, right? First one of those, right? So the fourth one here is the 1-3-1 principle, right? This is something I teach all my owners, and I have them teach all the managers. I have those managers, right? I have the GM then teach the other managers, and I have the managers teaching the servers as well. Here it is, the 1-3-1 principle. It goes something like this. I'm sure there's another name for it. This is just how I was taught. You come up with one problem, right? You identify one problem, you present three potential solutions, and then you make your one recommendation, right? One problem, three potential solutions, and your one recommendation. And if you can do that, you'll get really good at your job. Number one, you get really good at identifying problems. Hopefully, you get good at identifying fires before they start. So rather than being the firefighter in chief and running around playing whack-a-mole, putting out all these fires, hopefully you're good at finding things that will soon catch fire so you can be proactive rather than reactive. Right? So you get good at coming up with a problem, you get good at thinking of potential solutions, and then you get to think about what I would do. This is how I would get out of it. If you can present that to your GM, if you can operate with your owner this way, they will love you forever. So if you're always thinking of that, every single week, you've got 3, 4, 5 things that you're thinking of, big things, small things, everything in between. The 1-3-1 principle is going to be really good. Same thing when a server comes to you and they're complaining like, oh, you know, this thing is a problem. So great. Okay. Give me three potential solutions and give me your recommendation of what you think I should do. They'll go away for 20 minutes or they'll go away overnight and come back and be like, hey, I thought about it. Here's the three things we could do, but I think we should do this. Great. You get to then make the decision. This goes back to the curiosity thing, right? Back that we talked about earlier in this episode. If you can get really good at asking questions and having them bring you answers, you're going to be better. You're going to be a more effective manager. Second, the fifth thing, right? So the second one in this back half I want to talk about is the importance of systems and goals. This gets tied into measurement. But systems goals is something I talk about a lot. Everything we do in business goes back to systems and goals. Really clear. Point A is where we're at now. If it is a problem, right? Point A is a problem. We need to set a goal to solve that problem. So we're at point A. We need to get to point B. How are we going to get to from point A to point B? That is a system. We're going to do the following things to achieve the stated goal, right? To get from point A to point B. Those stated things are your activity, the things you're going to put into place. A system is just a repeated set of actions, right? We are going to do this and this and this and this, which will accomplish the stated goal. when you have a system, that becomes an SOP, a standard operating procedure, right? When it becomes repeatable, it becomes replicable. Right. So if somebody can repeat it over and over, well, then you can teach someone else to do it. They can replicate it at the store across the across town. Right. When that happens, if it's repeatable, it's replicable. If it's replicable, it becomes scalable. We then don't need you to do it. We've taught someone else to do it and they're teaching someone else to do it. Scalable means then we can put this system in place at the second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th, 50th, 150th location. Systems and goals are absolutely crucial if you wish to grow, if you don't want to be doing all of this stuff. So again, if you're an owner-operator, this is how you become an owner, by parking some of these operational things to some other people. Delegation. You're delegating certain tasks. I need you to do this. I need you to accomplish this. The way to accomplish this is to do that, 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 and that. Right? That's the system we put into place to help you achieve the goal. I cannot overstress the importance of systems and goals in your business. Finally, then the last thing, and this goes with the curiosity thing. It has to do with, right, this old statement, right? The good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. It's because we should be listening twice as much as we speak. Talked about this in a past episode just a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to refresh it here, specifically when it comes to pre-shift meetings. So if you do pre-shift meetings, I want to introduce you to the 80-20 rule, right? If you do all staff meetings, again, you're going to inject the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule is Pareto's principle. I'm bending it a little. I'm not using it in the real sense of it. The 80-20 rule, I firmly believe, is that you, most pre-shift meetings you go to, right? You see a manager speaking 80% of the time, asking a couple of questions of the staff. They speak maybe 20% of the time. It is not your job to sit there and lecture at people for 20 minutes before they go into service. Your job is simply to bring the team together and make sure they know what they need to know to go into service, right? To go into battle for the night. If you can apply the 80-20 principle in the other way, you will succeed. Meaning, I think you should try, I've always tried, to have my staff talking 80% of the time and management speaks 20% of the time, right? So when you arrange a pre-shift meeting, I think there should be some structure, right? So we should be talking about the reservation book. We should be talking about culinary. We should be talking about beverage. We should be talking about service. And then we should be talking about anything else that we all need to know about. But when we talk about the reservation book, why not have the host talk about it, right? Manager doesn't need to talk about, ask the hostess to tell us, hey, what's going on tonight? Hey, we've got 180 covers on the books. Our big times are between this time, 6:30 and 7, then again between 8 and 8:30. Here are VIPs coming in for the night. Here are our special occasions. Be aware that there's a private party in the back room. John's taking care of that. I'll talk to you after this. Any questions about the reservation book? We teach the host, the hostess, to do that, and they're talking. We talk about food, right? So we say, hey, guys, who's seen the new pork dish? Who's seen the new burger? Who's seen the new omelet? Whatever it is. Great. Sarah saw it. Sarah, tell me about the new burger. All right. Well, the new burger is blah, 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 blah. They've seen it now. It's been on the menu for a couple of days. Right. Fine. We don't have to explain it. Chef doesn't have to explain it. Server can explain it. Then the chef can step in and say, actually, that's not quite right. Something you need to know is that we do X, Y, Z. They can come in and correct. Right, they can say that's really good. The other thing that I might mention if somebody asks about it is this. Then you get to respond, right? Again, this has to do with that listening thing, that curiosity thing. It's so, so important, right? So now we've had the host read the reservation book and tell us how the night's going to go. We've had a couple of servers or whatever talk about the food. We go and say, hey, talk about beverage. My bartenders, tell me about the two new cocktails that just are on the menu. Hey, tell us about the new wine by the glass. Tell us about any 86s. And we got our bartenders talking. Then we have a service point maybe, or a couple service points, things we're specifically focusing on this week. I used to have like one for the servers, one for the bussers, one for the runners, right? So that they all felt engaged. Like, okay, so my service point this week for the servers, one of my servers, read it out and tell me what it means to you. Let me do that. Okay, the bussers. Bussers, tell me what your service point is this week. What's the one thing I want everyone focusing on? Great. How do you internalize that? How is that? How does that change what you're doing? Same thing with the runners. What happens is we go all the way around the horn and everybody's done most of the talking. So when we get to the last thing, right, When we get to the last thing, I say, okay, great. Just a couple of things to be aware of. Hey, guys, remember we do this buyout party next Thursday. Everybody's working. Nobody gets off, blah, blah, blah. Also, it's open enrollment. If you have any questions about it, just email me or come find me. We'll talk about it, but that's open for another week and a half, right? If there's any sort of business things. You know, finally, there's one thing that I just want to make sure everybody's aware of is this. What happens then is the two or three notes that you have at the end of the meeting will be much better received because they haven't been listening to you droning on for the last 20 minutes. These people have been talking, those people have been talking, then those people, and those people have been talking, and then you, they perk up, they say, oh, the boss is talking now. Those are the six things that will help you be a better, more effective manager. Again, owners will love you more. Your staff will appreciate you more. You will be better at your job if you can do this. I can't stress that enough. That's it for today, guys. Hopefully this stuff resonates. If you have any questions about how to integrate this into your business, you just email me, chip@chipclose.com. My last name is spelled with a K, so it's chipklose.com. I respond to each and every email I ever get. So email me, try me. Any questions about this, you reach out. Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. I will see you next time.